Actors Sean Connery and Michael Caine are considered Hollywood royalty, but they reached a much loftier status in the 1975 movie version of Rudyard Kipling's The Man Who Would Be King.
What does Sikandar mean, Bill?
Sikandar a god.
They think I'm a god?
A god.
Is Danny not son of Sikandar?
No, Billy, he's a man like you and me. He can break wind at both ends simultaneous, which I'm willing to bet is more than any god can do.
Caine and Connery play a pair of rogue British soldiers in the 1880s who con their way into becoming kings of a remote part of Afghanistan. Turns out that Kipling's characters may not have been entirely fictional. Times of London writer Ben McIntyre believes the story was based on a man from Pennsylvania. 150 years ago, a Quaker named Josiah Harlan embarked on an adventure that wound through Central Asia and into Afghanistan, and like Kipling's soldiers, he lived a life of fame, fortune, and fibbing. McIntyre writes about Harlan in his new book, The Man Who Would Be King, The First American in Afghanistan.
Kipling, like many authors, didn't actually specifically say what he based his characters on, and many of his characters were combinations of several different people. But the similarities between Josiah Harlan's life and that of the fictional character in Kipling's The Man Who Would Be King are too exact to be coincidental.
It reads like Homer's Odyssey. He meets a 7-year-old prince. There are various rajas and holy men, a pair of British deserters. You got crocodiles, quicksand, bandits.
He was nothing if not a great diarist, Josiah Harlan, and he describes all this with such verve and pleasure.
Basically, he bluffed and bribed his way to Kabul disguised as a holy man.
That's right. He initially signed on with the East India Company as a surgeon, a job for which he was, as far as we can work out, completely unqualified. One of the great things about Josiah Harlan was that he didn't allow sort of practical problems to get in the way of his ambition, and so he became a doctor, and Josiah worked for them briefly and then bought himself out, having decided that it was a constricting life. He'd seen the way that the East India Company made and broke princes, Indian princes, and he frankly wanted to become one himself.
He ran into this exiled king of Afghanistan who dreamed of restoration, and Harlan offered to help him out.
He recruited an army in order to try to bring back the exiled king. And the deal was that while the king would reign, effectively, Josiah, if he managed to pull off this extraordinary feat, would rule as his vizier.
And this was a guy from Chester County, Pennsylvania, born in 1799. Now, what sends a guy like that out to see the world?
Well, believe it or not, he was originally a merchant seaman. He was one of 7 children of a merchant broker in Pennsylvania who sent his son off to discover the world. And before leaving, Josiah had become betrothed to a young woman in Pennsylvania. And it was while on his way back from China in Calcutta that he received word that this girl, who was called Eliza Swaim, had jilted him. And Josiah promptly swore that he would never return to the States. And he set up shop within Kabul as a doctor and basically to sort of find out about the place. And at this point, it's probably worth pointing out that Kabul had become a pawn in the great game, in the battle between the British on the one side and the Russians on the other. And there was what was happening here was that the two great empires were colliding in Central Asia and really fighting for control of Afghanistan. Not actively fighting, but fighting by means of espionage. And Harlan became involved in this enormously complicated effort, trying to sort of broker one side off against the other. And it was while in the midst of this that he was commissioned by Dost Muhammad to take an army up into the Hindu Kush, following Alexander the Great's footsteps, in order to wage war against a refractory prince up there. But on the way, Harlan seems to have struck an extraordinary deal with the Hazarajat tribes. They struck a deal whereby, once again, Harlan would become effectively the prince of this area in Hazarajat. So we have this extraordinary picture of Harlan on his elephant, in full battle regalia, being crowned king of this sort of wasteland in the middle of the Hindu Kush.
And ultimately, in 1841, Harlan returned to Pennsylvania. He got married, failed at several businesses, things involving camels and grapes.
Yes, he tried to introduce... One of his most bizarre experiments was an attempt to import camels wholesale into the American West. Needless to say, the camel notion never took off, and the camels were released into the wild where they bred. And my understanding is that the last wild camel was killed in Arizona in 1908.
Well, then came Civil War, and he briefly served as a Union officer. And he went to San Francisco to be a doctor again.
He headed off to San Francisco in 1870 and set himself up as a doctor. And one day he was walking down the street in San Francisco and dropped dead, and they worked out where he came from. They went back to this very small apartment, and the only thing he had left at this point of his old Afghan life was a golden sword that Dost Mohammad Khan had given him in recognition of his service, and these extraordinary Persian handwritten documents declaring him king of this part of Afghanistan, of the Hazarajat.
Age 72, died in 1871, probably about the time Kipling was writing about him, right?
That's right. It appears that already Harlan's career and his achievements had entered local folklore in the northwest frontier. And Kipling was, at about this time, a young journalist working for the Allahabad Pioneer, and he made several trips up into the northwest frontier. And that appears to be the moment at which he came across Harlan's story and decided to turn it into fiction.
Ben McIntyre of the Times of London is the author of The Man Who Would Be King, the First American in Afghanistan. There's a photograph of Josiah Harlan at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.